Continue today in our study, in our series called Living for the New. And it focuses in on Revelation chapter 21, this beautiful open door to show us what's coming, to show us a glimmer of where we're headed in life, the beautiful picture of eternity with God. The title of this part of the series is The Eternal City of God. The eternal city of God is awaiting all of our hearts here today. But one of the things that wars against us is the constant battering of the old to take our eyes off of the new that Christ has made us now and the fulfillment of the fullness of the new that waits ahead for us, where we are headed. I believe this, as time begins to wind down upon this earth, the old is revved up to hammer and to hit us and to get our minds off of what Jesus came to give us and to distract us from the new. We all know what it's like to live through a week with being hammered, or live through a year or many years of being hammered by the old. And that constant bombardment against our heart can truly distract us. But as we are faithful to look at God's word, we see the tremendous promise of the new. And in chapter 1 of Revelation, we're going to spend time walking through this lengthy description, we get a glimpse of eternity. Are you excited about what's ahead? Are you? Or are we so distracted by this old life that we don't even hardly think about what is coming? For if we forget what is ahead, we will forget what God is trying to accomplish in us right now. Because the new that he has called us to be, his blood has provided for us to be, must not be set aside and put somewhere on the shelf and we think about it later. We should think about the new each and every day. The glimpse of eternity shows us this beautiful image of the new Jerusalem. Can you think of a city that has been through more pain and suffering than Jerusalem? Can you think of a city that has had more contention surrounding it than the city of Jerusalem? See, God shows us this image of Jerusalem, but in his showing, we see pain, we see suffering, we see devastation. But here, as the scriptures begin to conclude, we see Jerusalem made anew. The journey of Jerusalem is a parallel to our own lives. That in our lives, we're going to face foes that are going to come against us. We're going to face trials, tribulations, pain and suffering, even devastation. But it doesn't change the beauty of what the new is coming to do. I believe Jerusalem, again, should remind us of what God is doing in our lives. That there is so much more ahead, that the suffering and the trial should not take away the hope and the reality of what God has for us. God was always faithful to Jerusalem. And he laid out plainly before them what their choices would bring forth. And that same voice that cried out to Jerusalem cries out to our own lives. Don't lose hope by the devastating impact of the old. And the old meaning the effects of sin upon this earth and upon our own existence. The eternal city of God, the fullness of the new, will live for all eternity in the new Jerusalem. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, starting with verse 9. Again, Revelation is God bringing forth this beautiful understanding to John of what was coming at the end of age. And here we see he is taken to this spiritual place, this understanding that only God could give him to show us today what was coming. And we pick up verse 21, verse 9, and it says this. John writes, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" Now, if you've read Revelation, you understand it is filled with wrath. It is filled with the consequences of what sin produces and what God's vision of the old truly is. The old will perish, it will die, and this earth is going to go through tribulations beyond anything that we've experienced thus far. And John, you can read in Revelation and get an image of what is coming. But we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We see here, "I will show you, after all of this wrath and vengeance against the choice of the old, living in sin, holding on to pride, holding on to sin, we see this, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." How many of us here today want to be assured that we're going to be citizens of the city of God, the eternal city of God? Do we want to be there? So it's been a hard week, Pat. Do you want to be in the eternal city of God? It is real. It's not a fantasy. The citizens of the city of God. Let's look at that. They will be the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The Lamb being Jesus Christ. The citizens of the city of God will be the church. Those that have entered into new life because Jesus saw our condition and was willing to die so that we could have the new. But it's not just there, but when Jesus died upon the cross and descended into the earth, he set the captives free. Those that walked according to God's heart were redeemed, the Old Testament saints. That great cloud of witnesses, they will inhabit the city of God. The citizens of the city of God, we enter this city not by our ability, not by our goodness, not by doing certain things on a list. We are able to be citizens of the city of God, the eternal city of God, by the blood of the Lamb, paid for in full by Jesus. Now, we're going to walk through this description. Let's go back to verse 9. "One of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" That's us, the church. So why are we seen as the bride? Scripture wanted to give us the value of who we are to the heart of Christ. And the best description that he had was imaging us elevated as a precious bride, honored and accepted. And that is who we are in Christ, the bride of the Lamb. And we see this. Listen to this description of where this angel took John. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high." Think about this a minute, church. Here, honoring God, interacting with God, connected to God in a way that he was able to lift John up to this plane so that he could perceive things and bring it back and write it so that we would know this day. This is not made up. This is not something that's just John's creativity. This is inspired words of God's heart given to us so that we will know where we are headed. And then he said this. He carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high to show me, what does that say? The holy city, the new Jerusalem. Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Chapter 21 starts with the fact this old earth is going to be done away with. The old heaven's going to be done away with, and there will be a new earth and a new heaven, completely new. Not renovated, completely new. And we see this image coming out of the heavens upon the new earth, out of the new heavens and the new earth is the city of God. Say that word with me, the name of the city. Jerusalem, the place of suffering, trial, tribulation, is going to be made new. May you know this morning that your life, hindered by this earth and the fallen state in which we were born in, is not the last chapter. We are new now, and the completion of that new awaits us. Somebody died last night, and they tasted of their choice upon this earth. Someone died last night that was in Christ and moved forward to the completion of the new, awaiting this new earth and this new heaven. Coming down out of heaven from God, it shone with the glory of God. The city shone with the glory of God. There was no hindrance. There was no distance. As the city came down, God was seen in all of his glory. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. John describes what he sees with the knowledge of what he had. He had obviously seen jasper firsthand and saw the beauty, and he described it with that celebration. Now I want you to think for a moment on this fact. We live in a time where things are fabricated all around us. We see images that are on screens that show us anything that the mind wants to conjure up. There it is, right before us. But in John's day, everything that he saw was real. It wasn't synthetic. It was real. And he was able to look at the beauty of these precious stones, and it was marvelous to him. Today, in this society, so many things are brought before our eyes that are artificial, and they mesmerize us. But they're not real. What God is going to give us is lasting, and it is real, and it is precious. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates. Think about this, church. He's given us an image. And with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of what? Israel. Israel, God keeps his promise. Though Israel rejected, though Israel went and gave their heart to other gods, God is faithful and his promises are true. And here we see in this eternal city, God keeps his promises. And Israel is represented, and there will be Israel present in this new city. Revelation 21, 13. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Again, these 12 foundations, on them were the names of who? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. The New Testament church is represented in this new city. The apostles that gave their heart fully to God with their suffering, with their trials, with their failures, are permanently, eternally written on these foundations. Someone here this morning says, I failed God, God can't use me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Every apostle failed God at some point. And no one got more horrific than Paul, yet he was elevated in manner that only grace could have brought. Same way in our lives, we mess up, we trip up, we do things that we should not. It doesn't change the faithfulness of God. He is destined you to be a citizen of the city. And as we look at their names, we can look and see the honor brought to them through this that really represents us as the church. But it also represents to us the grace of God to forgive and to establish and to secure in the heart the newness of life. You ready to go to the city? I'm ready to go to the city at God's timing. I don't want to miss the city. Someone sealed up their choice last night when they gave up their last breath. Somebody that didn't think it was going to come, it came, and they sealed up their choice. Verse 15 of Revelation 21. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. God said, man, I want to show you. I want to reveal to you some stuff here. The angel had a measuring rod. And let's look at 16. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. Verse 17. The angel measured the wall using human measurement. So we can understand this one a little bit better. And it was 144 cubits thick. How many of you say, thank you, Lord, we didn't go with the metric system? Roughly 200 feet thick. Somebody said we should have, but I struggle with it, so I'm glad they went back to the old. The wall measured 200 feet thick. And this is what the wall was made of. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The fullness of value, the fullness of purity is found in this city that is going to be our dwelling. Upon this new earth, I don't know the time frame of when we'll walk those streets. I don't know how all that will play out, but I know this. We will be citizens. We will be allowed into this glorious city that will be upon this new earth. Now let's look further. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, agate. And the fourth, emerald. The fifth, onyx. The sixth, ruby. Any ladies that like jewelry getting excited about this? The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, turquoise. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. Amazing beauty that our minds can't even perceive right now. But our eyes will one day see. Verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. What's God saying? I'm going to give you the beauty. I'm making this for you. There won't be anything spared from God's heart in the city. That's how much he loves us. It's not about the value, the money. No, it's about the beauty of what God wants to express to us. Look at this description of the gate. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate made of a single pearl. So we're going to be miniature when we get to heaven. Who made the pearl? God. Unlimited. Unlimited in his design and beauty to bless us. The beauty and the purity of the new is incredible. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great streets of the city, or the great street of the city, was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. The beauty and the purity of the new refuse to allow the old to diminish your perception of the new. You know, here we see this beautiful design of the city that will be our dwelling. Yet we're bombarded again with the old to take our minds off of the new. And when I say that, the new heart that God has given us now should be our focus, not the old and the hassles of this life. How amazing it is when people walk through trial and tribulation that would devastate most people, yet they persist and they continue to stand and they continue to serve God. And they know when they look in the mirror, this isn't in my power to do this. For if it was up to me, I would have given up a long time ago. If someone would have handed me a script of what my life would be, I would have torn it up and ran and wished it to never happen. But each of us have had scripts and chapters in our lives that we never wanted, yet they came. Yet, by God's grace and mercy, we stand not focused on the old, but focused on the new. Working, hear this out, focusing on the new heart and letting the old heart be reminded that no, the trappings of this world, that's not my destination. The pain of this life is not my future. And I will, by the grace of God, hold on and keep my eyes on the new. Press on, press on, press on, press on, press on. Don't release the new because the old has raised its head against you. The old is death. The old is going to always have a destination, and we've talked about it. It's the lake of fire, and it has no place for our attention. We will battle with it. We will have it knock on our door every day, but we do not have to succumb to it. We do not have to surrender to it. Refuse to allow the old to diminish your hope in the new. Now, verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city. What was Jerusalem known for? Jerusalem was known for being the place where God's temple was. And even in the struggle and in the unfaithfulness of Israel, eventually the temple was torn down multiple times. So here, John's looking at the new Jerusalem, which in his heart would be, where's the temple? But he says this, I did not see a temple in the city. He was looking for it. Because the Lord, listen close, church, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. It is the dwelling of God and the dwelling of Jesus, the new Jerusalem. There's no longer this distance. There's no longer this struggle. In the city is the presence of God. In the city is the Lamb. No more separation. No more hindrance of the old. It is gone. It is diminished. It will never return again. Where do we want to seed our steps? The old or the new? I want the new. I want what's coming. I don't want any more distance. He's with me in my heart now, but there are barriers that stand in the way. He's called us now the temple where His Spirit dwells. When we walk upon the new, there will be a city where God and the Lamb reign and His glory. Oh, will no longer have to be found in a temple. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Meaning, no separation. No separation. No separation. The fullness of the new, no more distance in our fellowship with God. That distance is removed forever. Now, verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. No need for the sun. The sun's mighty, isn't it? I mean, sometimes if you see that diagram of how big the earth is compared to the sun, it'll get you a little worried. I mean, I get my hand near that eye on the stove, I'm like, whoa. But God has perfectly balanced it so that we live. Yet the comparison is amazing. Don't laugh at me when I give this illustration, but Christmas is around the corner, right? And I still remember as a kid watching The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And I think it began with like a snow globe type thing. And it took you on this journey of how little the who were. Living on a what? What did they live on? Some of you literary folks here? Dr. Seuss. A snowflake. And this image of how little it was makes me think of how little this earth is compared to the sun. God is endless. And there will be a day where that sun is no longer needed because the glory of God will give us light on this new earth and the Lamb will be its lamp. No more confusion. No more missteps. He will be there guiding us with a complete new heart, totally free from the old and that fallen nature. Verse 24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. This is something I don't fully understand. In Revelation, if you think you fully understand it, you need somebody to give you a reality check, because you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. You don't. And I've gotten caught up in the different books and the different things that laid out this theory. This is how it's going to be, and it's got to be. Why? Because I said that's the way it is. Don't go there. Because what will happen if you go there and it ends up being different, you think, well, where did God mess up? It wasn't God. It was the fact that we got too focused in on some man's theory. There's a mystery involved. So I don't fully understand, but I see this new heaven and this new earth is going to have elements that, like I said before, you will have a new physical body that will not suffer any longer. You will be physical, a physical being that will be eternal. You're not going to be drifting on a cloud somewhere, just kind of woo. You're going to have physical, immortal life is going to be yours. And there's going to be purpose in this new heaven and this new earth. It's going to be glorifying God, but it's going to have dimensions that will amaze us. So here we see a system where the nations will walk by this light of the new Jerusalem, which is God's presence and the light of the Lamb, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Think about this a minute. If government upon this earth could have true newness of heart and spirit, how wonderful would this world be? But we walk by our own lamp. We walk in a manner that is dimly perceived. And even the best of politicians, even the best of leaders, still contend with a fallen nature. But in this new heaven and this new earth, Jesus will be the lamp with no restrictions, with no hindrances, and it will be glorious. I don't want to miss it, because the old beat me up so bad upon this earth. I don't want to miss the beauty of what that's like, because the old has come to tempt me away. I want to be in that city. I hope one day we're standing on that street of gold that's clear as glass. And someone would say, Pastor, you remember when you preached Revelation? Remember that day? Man, you didn't give it like a tie. Your explanation was so weak compared to where we're at. Thank you, Lord. Verse 25. On no day will its gates ever be shut. Once you're in, you're in. And you're not closed in, you got freedom. The gates will not be shut. It's established who will be the citizens. It's done. It's done. You don't have to worry. Will I mess this up? You're not going to mess it up. Because the completion of the new is going to be you. No longer being fatigued by the mind, by that body that's under that decay of sin. Clarity in thought, perception will not be hindered. And those gates won't ever be shut. Thank you, Lord. There will be no night there. The old order of things has passed away. Remember at the very beginning of the chapter? The old order of things, the things that we're very commonly we understand because we walk through the old, we deal with the old, we're born as the old order of things has passed away, and it ain't what? Coming back. It's not coming back. No death, no mourning, no crying. No more. Done. Oh, I'm tired. I feel like giving up. Don't give up. For where you're heading is the perfection of God's new heaven, new earth, and new city, new Jerusalem. Don't give up. Going to mess up? Yeah, we're going to mess up, but don't give up. His grace is there to draw us, empower us to press through, to keep our hands upon that plow and not stop. To run the race without stopping. Tripping, yes, but getting up and continuing. All suffering of the old will end. There's no night. There's no night. Get your focus and eyes off of the old. May we say that to ourselves every day. Get your focus and eyes off of the old. You are made as a new creation, headed for eternal newness of life. Get your eye off the old. It's a good disagreement with somebody. Unforgiveness with somebody. Get your eyes off the old. An attachment to something that I know is not life-giving, but my eyes are on the old. Oh, get off the old. Something that I depend on, that God has told me is there to destroy me. Help me, God, to let it go. Get your eyes off the old. Get your eyes. And I'm talking to myself. Get your eyes off the old. Live for the new. Run, refuse to quit. Verse 26, and the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Think of a nation in our world today, and you're always going to find sin and failure. Even the greatest nations have a time cycle, because eventually the fallen nature of man catches up with it and it devastates it. But in this new earth, the nations are going to be filled with perfection, and the glory of God in all of its beauty will reign. It won't be hindered. So our dwelling, wherever we live upon this new earth, it's not going to be hindered by the mistakes of man or the deceptions of man or the schemes of man. No, no. It's going to be perfect. See, we don't even expect perfection, do we? Because the old has hammered us so much. And God has told us, upon this earth, you're going to walk through it. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be pain. There's going to be death. That's not where you're heading. So don't let the image of our existence here taint or distract from the beauty that awaits us. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it by grace. Now listen to verse 27. Do you want to be a citizen of this city? Here's some criteria. Here's a reality of this city. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Can't sneak my way in. Can't fool my way. Can't talk my way in. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful enter it. The voice of God comes and speaks to our heart with directives, purpose, and clarity. The voice of man meets the voice of God with either brokenness or pride and rejection. God calls out his directives for us so that his glory can live in us. And God does not task us with steps that he is unable or unwilling to empower us to take. So when we walk to bring him glory, we walk in his power always. Nothing shameful is going to enter that city. Those that have looked at God's voice and have denied him, his directives, that have called out to him with an authority of self above him, those shameful hearts will not inhabit the city. Now, if we're all honest, we've all been shameful. And God's love and mercy called out, says, stop the shame. Stop bringing shame to me. Stop it. And eventually, by grace, we, in his power, stopped it. But if we don't stop it, how can we expect to enter the city? For someone died last night, unrepentant of their sin. What does that mean? Unwilling to turn from their sin. Multiple times God called out. Their heart was still able to hear God. That's the danger point. When I don't hear God's conviction anymore, I'm done. Because if I can't hear, I can't apply. And there's been times in my life rejecting the voice of God seeded callousness in me. And by mercy, God called out and says, son, if you don't stop it, you're going to get so hard-hearted that you're not even going to be able to hear me anymore. And as a young man, I still remember the fear that that brought to me. But it wasn't this fear that it was hopeless. It was fear of respect, of saying, listen now, because there's a day coming where you won't even be able to hear if you keep doing what you're doing. The conscience being seared. Don't let the condition of our nation inhibit your vision of the new. Because as the old enters its death in its burial, it will shout as loud as it possibly can to distract us. Because the old wants the multitude to come with it. Jesus died so that we are not destined for the old any longer. Don't let the rumblings of what we read and what we see turn your eyes away from the hope that Jesus died to give us. Keep looking for the new. Because it's in you. That new heart is in you. Nothing impure will ever enter this city. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. Deceit is a rejection of truth. It's learning the patterns of trusting in a lie more than trusting in truth. God calls out for his bride to say, truth has not evaded you. Truth has not left you. Truth is in your midst. Truth is my word. The old will hammer it and tell you to get it behind you. Don't count on it anymore. It's changed because of time. No, truth is the word of God standing in our presence, available to us if we simply will go. One of the things, and I'm just being very honest with you, a way to tell that the old is winning out in my life is my distance from the truth, the word. Again, everybody reads differently. Everybody has different abilities in length upon reading. You let the word touch you every day. If it's a verse, if it's audio, get around the truth. For truth is the language of the new. And as you guys blessed me in such a powerful way last week with your words of encouragement, Those words brought life to me. And this is the power of life right before us. Don't let time, don't let days go by without the word reaching into your soul. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. And look at this. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus got a book. Jesus has a book. The Lamb has a book, and he's recording in that book those who know him. Jesus has a book. And that book is a celebration of what Jesus has done in our lives, and it's documented of our relationship with him. Are we in the book? Are we going to be citizens of this eternal city of God? Mercy writes out the criteria. And the power of grace, the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, makes it possible to live in the eternal city of God. Will you be a citizen of the city? Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter the city of God. I want to be a citizen of the city of God. Our names are entered in that book by the blood of Jesus Christ. The citizenship of the city of God was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask if we can bow for a moment in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask our communion team to distribute the elements of communion. As they're distributed, if you will prepare them, and we will partake of them together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Communion is an ordinance of the church. It's something that Jesus has told us we need to do often. And he also makes it clear that it's not something that we do without a lot of thought and a lot of heart. Because he even said, if we partake of these elements without properly examining our heart, it can be detrimental to us. Because he doesn't want us to take lightly the gift of the new that he's offered. He says, examine your heart. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, go to your brother and work it out before you partake of this communion. If there's unrepentant sin, repent before you take of this sacred act of honor to God. May we spend some time of reflection this morning, preparing our hearts for this act of remembrance today.